Hi, and welcome to Author Uncut. I'm your host and author, Patrice Williams Marks. Today I'll be discussing the world of cancel culture, what it is, how it's used, and if it should be canceled. But first, if you enjoy my podcast, I'd be grateful if you spread the word by leaving a rating and a review. Author Uncut can be found wherever you enjoy listening to your podcast. Recently, Access Hollywood's host, Mario Lopez, suggested it was dangerous for parents of children as young as 3 years old to definitively label their kids as transgender. Mario encouraged parents of young children to be the adult in the situation and wait until the child's formative years to have discussions and make declarations regarding gender. What happened next? There was an immediate backlash where throngs of people on social media said Mario should be canceled, that his comments were ignorant and insensitive. Let's look at Kevin Spacey. I will tell you right now that I was a big fan of House of Cards and binge-watched every season, even the last one where he was killed off. I wish there was another season with Claire as president, by the way. But tell me, when was the last time you've seen anything Kevin Spacey has done besides walking into a courtroom or his odd YouTube video where he released it about a year or so ago? The sexual assault allegations follow him wherever he goes. No one has hired him or released any of his films that were already shot and in the can. Kevin has literally been canceled. R. Kelly. I have to admit that I love his music, but I can live without it. Apparently, he has allegedly gotten away with decades of abuse and brainwashing of young women, maybe even 100 of them or more. But that is until recently, when the documentary Surviving R. Kelly aired. After that, he was arrested and charged with multiple counts of crimes against children and young women. I don't believe I've heard even one of his songs on the air since. R. Kelly has been canceled. Taylor Swift. In 2016, Kanye West released a song called Famous, where he sings about having sex with Taylor Swift. As you can imagine, Taylor didn't appreciate that or approve. So Kim Kardashian decides to get into the mix and post a video putting Taylor in a very bad light. There were calls from Kim K's fans to cancel Taylor. There was even a hashtag trending. It was hashtag Taylor Swift is canceled. But Taylor came out of that controversy and remains bigger than ever. She's even used social media herself recently to unofficially ask her fans to cancel Scooter Braun, who has, she said, blocked her from performing some of her older songs on the AMAs. Her fans obliged. But some went way too far and issued death threats to Scooter and his family. Not cool. On a smaller scale, an author, Amelie Winzeau, who wrote a fantasy book called Blood Air, released an unpublished version to beta readers and was slammed for its, quote, anti-black slavery theme, unquote. The release was postponed and the book was possibly revised. Amelie Winzeau was canceled. Why are some celebrities and others in the spotlight easily canceled when others aren't? I'm referring to Woody Allen and Michael Jackson, despite repeated accusations. I don't have the answer to that. So, by now you figured out what cancel culture is. The dictionary refers to cancel as to destroy the force, effectiveness, or validity of. It's a systematic and relentless barrage on a person, institution, business, or idea when a group of people feel a wrong has been committed. Is it right or is it wrong? Some people say that cancel culture is justified because celebrities should face the consequences of their actions. They feel if some comments go unchallenged, it is setting a dangerous precedent and allows for racism, sexism, classism, homophobic comments to run unchecked. Others claim that the moral police are the ones who should be checked, that they've gone too far and have no right or authority to dictate the actions of others. So what camp are you in? For me, I believe in viewing each cancel on a case-by-case basis, not saying all actions are warranted or all actions are not warranted. As you know, I'm a sensitivity reader. We ourselves have been accused of partaking in cancel culture for what we do. Now, if you're unfamiliar with sensitivity reading, it's another form of editing. Let's say you're a Caucasian writer who has written a book or script which has Asians as the leads, their culture, and their way of life. But you have no experience with Asians, other than saying hi to a few of them in passing in your office. A responsible writer would recognize that they are not an expert on the culture, so they'd seek out an Asian sensitivity reader to read over the manuscript for unintentional and potentially harmful racism, misrepresentations, or just plain non-factual elements. The sensitivity reader should not only point out these issues, but offer solutions and research to back it up. Using a sensitivity reader is just another form of editing by an expert in a particular field. Publishing houses always use sensitivity readers, especially for nonfiction books. Now imagine if someone was writing a book about restoring 1958 through 1960s Ford Edsels to their former glory, but then they never actually have done it themselves. The publisher would send that manuscript out to be fact-checked by someone with actual experience in restoring Edsels. That is just good business, and that's called sensitivity reading. So no, sensitivity reading is not a part of cancel culture. We don't wag our fingers at authors or content creators, but rather are available if they approach us first, wanting to use our services. It's completely voluntary. Now, there are writers and avid readers who take to Twitter when they feel a book, movie, company, or person is racist, misrepresents the facts, doesn't know what they're talking about, not educated on the subject, etc. Is that a bad thing? Again, I go back to my case-by-case basis. Sometimes there is a hysteria that is unfounded and should never have happened. But again, sometimes they point out what needs to be pointed out. Perhaps the company, person, etc. had or has no idea what they said was inaccurate and/or hurtful to others. That is when cancel culture can take the kind approach and just point out the inaccuracies without launching attacks, as the supposed offending party may have done it unintentionally. Hopefully, they are open to learning and not making the same mistakes. But on the other hand, if the person, organization has a frequent history of spewing speech meant to inflame or to divide or post mistruths about others on a regular basis, they need to be held accountable. And that is exactly what cancel culture does. This isn't a new phenomenon. In the 1960s and 70s and 80s and 90s, there was also cancel culture, but it took the form of phone calls, boycotts, and gatherings. When a group of mothers felt rap music was dangerous to their children, they led a boycott, which saw thousands of records destroyed and government hearings to try to stamp out the music. They were successful in some aspects, but ultimately, the music won out. But now, cancel culture has found a new home on social media where everyone has a voice. So what do you think of cancel culture? Do you look at it as democracy in action or censorship? Let me know what you think by visiting my anchor.fm page, the link is in the show notes, and click on the button Send Voice Message to leave me a voicemail. I may just use your voicemail in a future podcast. Join me next time when I answer questions from my mailbag. Yay! Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, I'd be grateful if you spread the word by leaving a rating and a review. It really does help other listeners find me. And don't forget to tell your family and friends. Author Uncut can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever you enjoy listening. Want to suggest a show episode or get in touch? Visit me at authoruncut.com. Or send me an email at mailbag@patricewilliamsmarks.com. And finally, to join my email list, go to authoruncut.com. Until next time, write on.